Now don't panic, they are going to sing some more songs, and I know we all love them. I count it one of the great privileges of my life is that I've been able to listen to the Ayrton family and work with them on several occasions. I do appreciate your music, and they've travelled with me hundreds of miles in the car. Well, not literally, but their CDs have been playing while I've been driving. So I just love their music, and I love them as people. Thank you so much. Now do have a look outside. I don't know whether Michael, yes, Michael's here. He's brought his, what are they? They're Dartmoor sheep, and they are gorgeous. And they have no resemblance at all to the shepherd, but they are beautiful. And they're absolutely lovely sheep. And have a look at the two lambs, and one of them I think you'll fall in love with when you see. So do go and have a look. And we thank God, don't we, for the fact that yes, we have harvest festivals where we thank God for food and provision like that, but we thank God as well for the animals, the cows, we just across the road, the calves, the sheep and the lambs, and we thank God too for the shepherds and those who look after them. So do go and have a look at them later on. I want to read a very, very familiar passage from the Bible and just share with you a few precious thoughts from it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So written by David, 3,000 years ago. I'd love to know when he wrote it. Did he write it? Was it when he was a shepherd boy? Or did he write it much later when he was a king and he remembered his times day and night looking after those sheep on the hillside? He was quite a shepherd. We read in the life story of David, written a little bit earlier in our Bible, that on one occasion a lion attacked and he fought it with his own hands and he protected the sheep. And then a bear and he fought that with his own hands. And I've no doubt as well that it was while he was looking after the sheep that he began to practice with the sling and put the stone in the sling. Maybe he had a Coke can on the dry stone wall over there. And I don't know. Over and over again, he'd miss it that way and he'd miss it that way. And eventually he'd get it bang on. And eventually he could do it exactly to a hair's breadth. And of course, eventually, that skill was going to be very powerful when he was confronted by Goliath and he had the sling. And such a thing as a stone had never entered his head before, but it did on that occasion, and there was a tremendous victory. And you remember, he was the one who was chosen by God to be the shepherd of the nation of Israel. For 40 years he reigned in Israel. And he's the one who gave us so many of these psalms. And I wonder, I've often thought, and who knows, one day in heaven when we've got time, millions of years to enjoy in God's presence and with God's people. Who knows? I might be able to sit down with David and say, how did you write it? Did it just come? Did it just flow, Psalm 23? Or did you write something and cross it out and put it? I don't know, but this wonderful, wonderful psalm. He thinks, yes, that he too, he's a shepherd, but there is a greater shepherd.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd. And David muses on the fact that, yes, okay, he's used to looking after sheep, but in many ways, he's like a sheep. Foolish, going astray, needing a good shepherd to look after him. The Lord is my shepherd. And it begins, doesn't it, on that theme, that we are the sheep, he's the shepherd. And don't we need that? We live in a very troubled world, and there are all sorts of foes, not just lions and bears, but ideas and ideologies that attack and influence. But it's not just what's happening out there and what attacks us. There's something wayward. We've all seen sheep that have gone astray. I was coming down the road to church a few weeks ago, and sure enough there was a lamb that was desperately trying to get back into the field where it had wandered from, and it was a nice little moment for me to be able to take it and lift it up and put it back. We need that, don't we? Because there's something in our hearts, all of us, that goes astray. We know what is right, and God has certainly revealed to us what is right, but we wander away. We think wrong, we speak wrong, we do wrong, and we push God away from our lives and think we can live them without him. Of course we cannot. We certainly can't die without him. And we need a shepherd to find us and to rescue us. And David muses on that. And then he goes a little bit further and thinks, you know, I'm not only like a sheep needing a shepherd, I'm like a traveller, and I need a guide. And so he talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And we need that. We're going to think in a moment about the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we always focus on the fact that he loved us and died for us and rose from the dead. But for the Christian, there's a very intimate experience and relationship with God. And we look to him day by day to guide us. We're travelling, we don't know what tomorrow will hold. But we need somebody who'll go before us, protecting us, guarding us, showing us the right way, guiding us into the right paths. And David thinks, this shepherd, he's a wonderful shepherd, but he's more than that. He's my guide as well. And then his thinking progresses a little further, and he sees himself now as a guest. And the Lord is the host. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For those of you who know Martin Top Chapel, you'll know it is superb at creating great meals and providing wonderful food. We have such a super lunch today, and I think there's more goodies out there for this evening. We get well fed, and it's lovely to be, as it were, welcomed by a host, and we find ourselves the guest, enjoying all that's provided. And David sees God like that, that God's given so much. We talk about the beauty round about. We look at the colours of the flowers, the bright green of all the leaves of the trees, the sunshine, and yes, the animals, the calves and the new lambs, and they're wonderful. And God gives us so much. He spreads a table before us. But he provides spiritual benefits as well. I wouldn't like to go through life without the certainty that my sin was forgiven. I need that. There have been times when, you know, you have to apologise to those you love, those you're just bumping into, and something goes wrong and you have to say, I'm really sorry. And it's nice when they say, oh, that's okay, but what about God, who sees and knows everything? He understands me better than I understand myself. He sees my thoughts afar off. He sees them. He hears every whisper, every word. He knows the things I do, the places I've been to, the things I shouldn't have got involved in. He knows it all, and yet, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. He's willing to blot out our transgressions. Mm-hmm. And David sees it like this. Wow, what a great host, and I am invited, as it were, to a huge feast of blessings that he spreads before me. But there's more in this psalm, because David speaks about, when you have God as your shepherd, you have him in life. So the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's with me in life, every moment of life. He's there. But then he says, no, he's also with me in death. None of us here have died. All of us will die. But to have the Lord with us as we go through the valley of the shadow of death, what a comfort that is. I remember the first time I was with somebody as they actually slipped away from this world. It was a man I taught with. I was a school teacher for 11 years, and I taught with this particular man for 8 years. He was older than myself. He wasn't married. He didn't particularly have a family. And And eventually he got cancer, and I used to go and visit him and do what I could, and then eventually he was taken into a hospice. And I remember I was called to go and see him one early evening, and I sat there throughout the evening, and it was very clear to me and to those around that he wasn't going to see the next day. But I sat with him, I held his hand, I prayed, I sang. I can't sing at all, you know. And I don't know if you noticed, I wasn't clapping. You should be grateful that I wasn't clapping when everyone else was. I have no sense of rhythm at all. When I start clapping, I notice everybody else is out of step. So I just like the best thing. Yeah. But I sang to him, I prayed with him, and there came a moment when I thought, you know, he's not getting anything now. He's not even hearing me. And then I thought, but the Lord's with him. And I may not be able to help him, though I was there when he passed from this world to the next. I may not be able to help him now, but the Lord's with him. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord as the shepherd in life and in death. I've told this story here before, but it made a big impact on me. I was speaking at Liverpool University for a week, and I remember Dot, my wife, phoning me up and saying, Roger, if you want to see your uncle one more time before he dies, you need to get back to Wakefield and go to the hospice there. And I'd spoken that evening, it was probably about 10 o'clock at night, and I made a quick dash back to the hospice in Wakefield. It was about 11:30 when I arrived, and I went into the room. And there he was, yes, he was unconscious, his wife was with him. And I was there a couple of hours, till about 1:30, and then I remember saying to my aunt, look, I've got to go because I'm speaking tomorrow morning at 8:00 in Liverpool. I'll have to go, but let me just pray for my uncle, and then I'll go. And I don't remember exactly what I prayed. All the time, my uncle Ken, he'd been, you know, he was unconscious, and I just held again his hand, and I prayed. I said amen, and then he just opened his eyes. And he said, Roger, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Saviour, and very shortly I will be with him. Mm-hmm. And that was it. He never said another word this side of eternity. And I was never certain that my uncle had trusted Christ, but what a great testimony to end his earthly life. The Lord with us in life and in death. But David goes further, and he talks about the surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Robert, you said there are some people who don't believe in God. There are others who say there is no life after death. You know, when you're dead, you're done for, that sort of thing. That's certainly not what the Bible teaches. And those who said nobody's ever come back from the dead to tell us have forgotten Jesus did come back from the dead. And he, more than anybody else, spoke about heaven, and he also warned about hell. So to be certain that we're going to be with God forever in heaven is incredibly important. I don't want to be lost. But if the Lord is our shepherd, he'll be with us in life, through death, and then into eternity. Heaven is not a reward for doing good. So many people think that. None of us are good enough for heaven. Heaven is a gift which Jesus purchased, and he offers to us all. You say Jesus, but didn't King David live long before Jesus? Yes, he did, 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus. But interesting, in his Psalms, and this one, there's a sort of looking forward to the fact that eventually the Lord Jesus Christ would come. And when you read, as Alan did earlier, say from John chapter 10, but other passages as well, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd and the great shepherd. And the chief shepherd. And he calls himself the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I'm sure, guys, the farmers here, you're all, you know, not be caring shepherds. Would you lay down your life for the sheep? But Jesus did. He was born to go to a cross. I know he taught wonderful things and did amazing miracles. He was born to go to the cross. And on the cross, he was the Lamb of God, the good shepherd. He's both the Lamb and the shepherd, laying down his life for the sheep. Because when he was on the cross, God took our sin, the sin that would condemn us, The sin that would keep us out of heaven and condemn us to hell. God took our sin. The sin which cuts us off from God. He took our sin and laid it on Jesus. And he paid for it so that we could be forgiven. And the Jesus who died, bearing our sin, 3 days later rose from the dead. And it's this risen, living Saviour who says, look, I can be your shepherd, forgiving your past, coming to live within you and guide you through life's journey, through death, and then into eternity. And I simply want to ask, is he your shepherd? And I don't particularly want you to think, oh, not for so many years, but what about now? What about now asking the Lord God who made you, who loves you, who came into the world for you, what about asking him to be your shepherd? There's an old story, you find it in little Victorian books, and many of you will have come across it before, but it drives home this point as I finish. It concerns a little shepherd boy who used to go to Sunday school regularly. He was illiterate, but nevertheless, in those days they used to try and teach things by rote so that children could at least, if they couldn't read the Bible, they could at least remember the Bible. And on one occasion, this shepherd boy was taught Psalm 23. And the way he was taught it was with his fingers. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He was caught in a dreadful snowstorm. And when eventually this little boy's body was found, they found that his hand was clinging onto this finger. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? Has there ever come a time in your life when turning from your own way, you said, Lord, I want you please to forgive me. Become my Lord. Become my Saviour. By your Holy Spirit, this is God himself, come and live within me. And take me through life's journey. And yes, one day through death, and then to be with you forever in eternity. I think this is the most wonderful message in all the world. I really do. But it's also the most urgent one. And whatever society is saying these days about God, there's no other one who can deal with the problem of our own wrongdoing and the fact that one day we'll die and meet God. If you've never asked the Lord Jesus to become your shepherd, your Lord, your Saviour, what would stop you doing so? Even tonight. I'm going to pray a prayer. Each night we've done this in a very most wonderful week we've had. I'm going to pray a prayer that I would urge you to pray tonight. If you've never prayed like this before, it's a prayer of saying, God, you know all about me, but I need to trust you. I need you please to forgive me. I need you please to become the Lord of my life. And from now on, with your help, I want to follow you. Some of you remember the day when you stood at the front of a church and the minister or the vicar said, will you? And you said, I do. And will you? I do as well. And etc. And you make this promise and you two people become one. And wow, how it changes your life. If you're a man, it means you've no more money. But what a commitment. What a commitment. This is more important. To get right with God. To know that your sin is forgiven. And I really do encourage and urge you to pray with me tonight and ask Jesus to become, yes, your shepherd, my shepherd, your saviour, your Lord. And if you pray with me, I've got something I'd like to give you at the end. It's just a pack of booklets. It's called Because You Asked. It has the prayer in it and it has some tips to how you can start to grow as a Christian. I'll be here and then I'll be in the overflow room there. Just come to me, and Alan will have some as well. And just say, Alan, Roger, I need one of those packs, please, and it'd be our pleasure to give you one, and we'll try and chat and answer any questions. I really believe this lovely evening, this lambing service, could be your time when you get right with God. We thank God for the sheep. We thank God for his provision. But let's thank God for the Saviour, the Shepherd. Let's pray. So if you can make this prayer your prayer, please pray with me. Dear God, you know everything there is to know about me. You know about my sin, and I want to say I'm sorry for it. But I do believe that Jesus died for me and rose from the dead. Please forgive me. By your Spirit, come and live in my life. Please become my Lord, my Saviour, my Shepherd, and help me to follow you. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you prayed with me, I really would encourage you to have a word with Alan or come and have a word with me and just say, look, I need one of those plaques, please, and it'd be our pleasure to give you one.